hot, dense state that nearly 14 billion years ago expansion started. Wait, the earth began to cool, the autotrophs began to drool, Neanderthals developed tools, we built a wall. We built the pyramids,
math, science, history. I'm Lynn Scherer, and today for Leonard Lopate. In the second hour of today's show, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. I do know where I am. Got a little confused here. You know what? Can we just hear a little bit of that music one more time? Then I'll do it right, I promise. No, we can't. Oh, gosh, I blew that. Hey, I apologize, everybody. I apologize to my guest. That theme music you were just listening to is as unlikely as the theme itself. How the world was born and grew and produced a most unusual group of friends. I'm talking, of course, about the Big Bang Theory, the, well, unlikely hit television comedy about neurotic, nerdy astrophysicists. They're sort of friends with pocket protectors. And instead of Jennifer Aniston, we have as its star Jim Parsons, who plays the brilliant, overly analytical Sheldon Cooper. As one of the critics said, prickly Sheldon has become a character to love, and Parsons is doing something rare on network TV, making intellectualism admirable, even heroic. The Big Bang Theory airs Monday nights at 8 o'clock on CBS, and while Jim Parsons lives in Los Angeles now, he has time-traveled across the country to join me in the studio today. Hi, Jim, and welcome.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here, and it's a pleasure to meet you. I've watched you on TV for a long time now as well.
Oh, thank you so much. I apologize to you for the intro. Got a little
I enjoyed it. It's that kind of excitement that makes this a wonderful program to be on.
So who knew physicists could be as funny as you guys are?
I agree. I wouldn't have guessed it, but that's why I'm not the one writing it. You know, I feel like so much is due the success, the funny, if you will, is due to that, to the writing. I you know, there's a million topics out there you could write about, and there's a million things you could be funny about. We're very fortunate to be working with a group of writers who have decided that there's funny to be found in science.
What do you think makes the physics funny, or is it just a sitcom that happens to be based on physics?
I'm going to say the latter. I really do. I mean, the good thing about science is that it does involve everything. You know, science involves everything. So your possibilities are endless as far as topics. But I do feel it's somewhat secondary. What it's done is the science is, in this case, the reason that these guys are not outcasts, but that's what makes them separate. You know, their intelligence, such high, and these are geniuses, and they're focused on science, and that's what makes them, it's not the underdog either, but just they're different, and that's what their strong focus in science is, what keeps them as somewhat strangers in perhaps societal life as we know it, as more average people. But I think that's just what it happens to be in this case.
So basically, I mean, the jokes are, there's a lot of science jokes, a lot of
yes,
so-called science jokes. But science is the background, is what you're saying. These are people that are connected, and it's about the human
that's
relationships.
Exactly right. That's exactly right.
And so I can't help saying you do kind of talk in real life the way you talk on the show.
Well, you know, I've heard that dead air on radio is no fun to listen to, so I'm just going as fast as I can.
It's great. Did you, by the way, ever study physics?
Oh, no. No, I purchased a Physics 101 book. It was literally called that. The Smithsonian Printing Press or something puts it out right before we started, because I thought, well, why not acquaint yourself with something scientific? And the only thing it served to do, which I guess was worthwhile, is that to show me how special these characters are, I cannot get my brain around it. These guys, or these are characters, but people who are excel in these fields, they have minds that are built to do it, you know.
Indeed. Now let's talk about the personality of the guys that do it.
Okay.
You play a character, Sheldon, with a very I could either say particular or peculiar, and neither
yeah,
one is meant as an insult.
I believe me, I hear you.
Personality.
Mm-hmm.
How do you describe Sheldon?
I always say first and foremost he's a genius, because it really is the crux of what we're dealing with here. And we were talked about it again and again when we first started by the producers. It's like, yes, people will pick up on the nerdy. They're going to pick up on the geeky. What we really want to impress upon everybody and upon you doing this is that we're really doing this. These are beautiful minds, you know. That's what this story is about. So he is. He's a beautiful mind. He's a genius.
But in
related
addition,
to that, that thrust him, the backstory, it seems, from what we've heard, is that, you know, it thrust him into school early. It thrust him into teaching. It thrust him out of a life of mingling with more ordinary, everyday people. And it is makes him somebody who is both clueless and somewhat socially naive. You know, he only knows to call a situation as he sees it, because that's the science, you know, we've got to deal with the facts. And it makes him somewhat of an impolite guest at times, you know, to have for company, because he'll call it. It's not malicious, although he can be snarky at times. He's also OCD-ish, you know. He's got his obsessions.
Well, Mr. Spock.
Yeah. Oh, Lord. Isn't that funny?
Mr. Spock is like the recurring theme of this.
He's
your hero
as
Sheldon,
that's
right?
Sheldon's hero.
Right.
There's not a doubt. And it relates to that, once again, that kind of that Arrested Development childlike thing about him.
Right.
And all four of the guys have this to a degree. Sheldon seems to play it to the nth degree. But this thing, holding on to the comic books, holding on to the games, holding on to the...
Yes, you do like those comic book festivals
what
and
love,
stores.
With what love. I'm serious, you know, and... But it's so fun, we have found, for us to play and from what we hear, for people to watch, when these guys have their version of fun. Like things like the physics bowl, or things like when they do get together and play an online game or whatever. It's so particular again.
It is particular. That's the word we keep coming back to.
Yeah.
And I should also bring up Rock, Scissor, Papers, because
what a nightmare.
This is a game that many of us learned in childhood. You guys have
not
elevated
quite
this
version.
No,
yes.
You have elevated it to high camp.
Oh, God. I was talking about this yesterday. I said it was one of the hardest things I've ever had to memorize on the show, beyond all the science, beyond all the words. There were no hard words in that. But I have no deep understanding of that game.
We should just tell the one or two viewers who may actually not have seen the show what we're talking about.
Rock, paper, scissors, as we all know, or that most of us know, is, you know, you put out your hand, the fist being the rock, the two peace sign being the scissors, the flat hand is the paper, and the scissors can cut the paper. So if I hold out the scissors, you hold the paper, I win. Rock crushes the scissors.
Right.
This is a standard thing
that we all do to pick one, two, three,
that's
whatever.
Exactly,
and this,
right,
by the way, is something you played as a child?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Okay, fine.
I would play it now if somebody was really bored and we had nothing to do. not for long. But the additions that these guys have made, and I, from what I understand, this is real. You know, there are real tournaments in real life.
So there are
this
actual
made
science
up, made
geeks
up.
Who have made
oh,
the,
yes.
do this.
Yes.
Okay,
there's
cool.
a rock, paper, scissors, lizard, Spock. Now, what happens is, and I'm going to try to remember, lizard eats paper. And scissors can kill lizard because you can cut its head off. And rock can crush lizard. And Spock. Oh, God.
Now, I just have to tell our listeners, this
yes.
is so funny for me to sit here and watch you, because I've now watched the show. And when you do it on air, when you do the show,
in the
it
one
just
good
comes
take.
Fly in the one
That's
good take,
right.
fine. It comes flying out. And I agree with you. I can't keep track. This guy... Ladies and gentlemen,
Me.
Jim Parsons, the star, one of the stars of The Big Bang Theory, is sitting here and he cannot remember.
I'm a fumbling puddle of tears
is.
In front of you.
This is not scripted. This is
no,
a riot.
This is, well, this is my point about it and why it was so hard for me is because I have no connection to it. You know, I could basically get through to talking about rock, paper, scissors with you. Once we get to the lizard Spock, I have no deep understanding of
and
this.
And with good reason, because
well,
it's
thank
insane.
You.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay.
And now, by the way, you say all the long words, all the scientific
yes.
terms, you have no problem memorizing that?
Well, I mean, there's some effort put in, but no, I mean, it's, it, I, I'm, I don't know if it's shameful to say, it's very much rote memorization at that point, you know. And once I get that down, I can kind of, quote unquote, play with it, you know, and have it come out in the moment and see, oh, that's what Sheldon's doing. Because it's frankly a mystery to me at first as well.
I think we have a clip here that we can play of one of the programs. And this is a clip of how something as innocent as a Christmas present offer by your next-door neighbor,
yes.
Penny, right? The girl, the only girl on the show. This is how that would become an ordeal. Let's listen.
But I got you and Leonard a few silly neighbor gifts, so I'll just put them under my tree.
Wait. You bought me a present?
Uh-huh.
Well, why would you do such a thing?
I don't know, because it's Christmas.
Oh, Penny, I know you think you're being generous, but the foundation of gift-giving is reciprocity. Like, you haven't given me a gift. You've given me an obligation.
Honey, it's okay. You don't have to get me anything in return.
Of course I do. The essence of the custom is that I now have to go out and purchase for you a gift of commensurate value and representing the same perceived level of friendship as that represented by the gift you've given me. Well, it's no wonder suicide rates skyrocket this time of year.
You know what? Forget it. I'm not giving you a present.
No, it's too late. I see it. That elf sticker says to Sheldon. The die has been cast. The moving finger has writ. Hannibal has crossed the Alps.
Sheldon, I am very, very sorry.
No. I brought this on myself by being such an endearing and important part of your life.
It's delicious. By the way, is that a live studio audience?
Yeah.
So you're playing before it's
the best day of the week. It really is.
And now I have to ask you, Jim, is any of this you?
Well, I'd be a fool and a liar to say none of it was, but I will tell you, and I mean this honestly, I never think of myself as doing anything but what's been written. And I know that sounds cracked out of my skull to say as much, but I swear I just, and when we were just listening then, all I could think of was how in love I am with our writers. Hannibal has crossed the Alps. Who the heck says that? That's just, I just love what they've done. And it's how I felt from the moment I read the pilot and why I wanted to play this part so much. I just think what they do with all of us, but for me, at least, the attachment to what they did with Shell, and because from the very beginning they did it. Those intricate speeches that he has such a warped but logical way of thinking. I mean, that gift speech, it makes all the sense in the world. That
it
is
does.
Exactly
right, right.
The truth.
For someone who is socially inept.
That's exactly right.
Now, with all due respect to the late president, Ronald Reagan was known from time to time to quote his movie lines in real life. Do you ever find yourself
doing my own lines?
Yeah.
No, I do other people's.
I can't expect sometime you're going to show up
and
Hannibal is going to wind up in one of those.
Now that you and I have had this moment, and because it's little things like that that make the difference, I might end up saying Hannibal has crossed the Alps.
There you go.
The thing is, ladies and
gentlemen, you heard it here first, that he never said he was going to say it before.
It's always easier to do other people's lines or from other shows or movies I've seen, though, for some reason, than my own. Mine seem to fly out of my head.
Let's talk about you specifically. Originally from
Houston, Texas. Yes.
But you were a New Yorker for a while,
yeah,
right?
I lived here for almost 6 years. November 2001, I moved right after I finished grad school, and because I got an agent here, and so it was time to find work.
Jim Parsons, one of the stars of the CBS hit sitcom, The Big Bang Theory. You're like, oh, I said hit, and he jumped out of his chair.
Well, I got instructions from somebody else in a faraway booth to sit back from the mic. Apparently,
I thought you were being excited about my saying it was a hit.
No, well, I will jump for that, too.
Okay, so you're a star now.
Oh, well, if you know what, Lynn, if you're going to say that, I'll let you say that. That's really sweet.
Do you, in fact, get recognized on the street?
Yeah, somewhat. It's not a mob scene, you know. This is not a Brangelina situation.
Do they come up and do the Spock greeting, as you do so often on the show?
No, they really don't. It's been curious like that, though, because when we first started doing it, we were like, I've heard stories of like Star Trek fans of being very literal with a lot of the actors about how was the moon, or I don't watch Star Trek, so I don't know what the proper question would be. But something you're like, I'm not doing that really. And we wondered if we would get anything like that. And We don't. It's been so little I can't even recall an experience. It's just been very much I enjoy the show. I did have one thing today in a lobby. I was waiting to go into a building, and somebody came up and said, I enjoy the show. And he came back about a minute later with his phone, with his fiancée on the phone, and asked if I'd talk to her. And I thought that was really rather enjoyable.
And did you do rock, paper, scissors?
Well, heavens no.
Okay, fine. You just had a serious
All I could do was say hello. Thank you for watching.
So back in 01, when
yes,
you
moved
were
here.
Moving in New York,
yes.
Nobody recognized you then, right?
No. My one friend that I moved in with, he was already here. He recognized me, thank God, let me in the building.
What were you doing in those days?
I
love stories about actors, how it starts, yeah.
Well, you know, I'd done tons of theater in Houston, and I really went to grad school largely because I knew if I was going to get a career going and really make my money at acting, it wasn't probably going to be in Houston. But I was never somebody who hit the road and packed up their belongings and just hit the streets. So I went to grad school, which was a wonderful experience, ended up in New York, moved in with a friend of mine, Derek, and we were both actors, and I got an off-Broadway play pretty quickly after being here, with about a month, which didn't pay enough at all, but certainly paid my soul and let me know that
and started,
you know,
your
keep
credits going.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And a commercial here, a commercial there, and then it just really kept snowballing till. And the reason I ended up moving, I actually moved before the show was picked up. Because a majority of my income was coming from L.A. at that point. I'd put things on tape or I'd visit for pilot season, you know,
and
get work that way. And it just seemed the right time to do it, whether this show was going to go or not, to spend some time out there.
Well, you were in the film Garden State.
Yes.
Most amusing, wonderful.
That's one of my luckier situations, you know.
You played a bit of a dweeb there, too,
yeah,
right?
Klingon speaking. Working at medieval times, wearing a full suit of armor at the breakfast table.
Jim, are you being typecast here, do you think?
I just think maybe I just have a deep regard for these types of characters. I don't know.
He looks pretty normal, folks. I just want to mention that. He's got a regular shirt. You know,
Lynn looks pretty normal, too, for any of you who are wondering.
So we've fooled everybody, both of us. But when The Big Bang Theory got – you had to do two pilots for
this
show.
We did do two pilots.
Why?
We got to do two pilots. Well,
right.
The first one, me and Johnny were both in it, and the rest of the cast was different, and a lot of the writing was different. The part that Kaylee now plays,
Johnny
Penny,
was?
Galecki, he was Leonard, is Leonard still. And – a lot of our stuff stayed the same. Well, we did the pilot. And CBS, so graciously and such a rare thing to happen, said, we're not picking it up, nor are we killing it. We'd like you to try it again. And it was a really weird place to be in. But what an opportunity it offered and what a smart, frankly, business move it ended up being, because it was more time. You know, it was Chuck Lorre and Bill Prady. These were people that they knew and they trusted. So they weren't.
He's the co-creator, Chuck
right.
Lorre.
They had a feeling that they'd probably get more time to work on it would only make it better. And it did. And one of the strongest things that changed was the Penny character. She was not all sun and light in the first version. In fact, she was She really came in much more hard scrabble and really tried to use Leonard and Sheldon, their naivete, their lack of worldly experience.
And now
to
she
her
sort
advantage.
Of rolls her eyes at you guys.
Now she just kind of puts up with us
right.
because she's a pretty good girl, actually.
So what you're saying is that's interesting that the development time helped. I mean, the co-creator Chuck Lorre,
yeah.
also behind Two and a Half Men and Dharma and Greg.
Right.
So is this a fellow with some good
experience? He knew what he was doing, yes.
He knows what he's doing. I have seen the screener for your next show on Monday night, in which the group goes to Las Vegas.
Minus Sheldon. By his own election. He says, no, thank you.
You stay behind and have another interesting encounter
yes.
with Penny. We won't tell people what it is.
Okay.
Let's make them tune in and watch.
Yeah.
That's very amusing. Were you miffed that they got to go in the show to Vegas and you didn't?
No. And the biggest reason is because I enjoy doing scenes with Kaylee, and I enjoy doing scenes as Penny and Sheldon so much. And that's what it afforded, was almost an entire episode of getting, quote unquote, stuck with her as a character. But just what a rewarding time as an actor. She's a heck of a good partner to play with on stage. And it was so fun. So forget Vegas.
Is there something else besides Vegas we should be looking forward to?
In this episode?
Down the road. How far ahead do you know what you're doing?
We're finished.
Oh, you're now done for the
yeah.
season. Okay.
I will say, as Chuck Lorre put it, we really put these guys on ice for the hiatus. they're officially put on ice.
And what do you do now then? What do you do with your break time?
Well, I don't know. Right now I'm relaxing.
Are you relaxed this minute?
Right this minute? I feel pretty good, actually, but you're right. This seems a little more work-related, doesn't it?
Okay, before we both start, a hug in here, I'm going to start to wrap this up. I've been talking to Jim, I've been talking to Jim Parsons.
That's my
son. I know, I'm only kidding. Jim Parsons, who plays the inimitable...
Nicely done.
Sheldon Cooper on The Big Bang Theory on CBS. As I said, it really is, it's a kind of... I don't mean geeky in a nasty way.
I
mean it in a friendly way.
I love scientists,
and I have an inner scientist in me. So you play one of those guys on this wonderful show. 8 o'clock Monday nights on CBS. This Monday they go to Vegas without Sheldon. Jim Parsons,
woo-hoo.
Thank you so much for joining us.
It has really been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.